passage. Got a little bit of a foretaste there. Today we're continuing in our Advent message series. We're continuing to talk about God's kingdom. Last week we set up the framework we're thinking in, kind of how we're thinking about this. And we said last week, we talked about how we understand God's kingdom in the world today. And what we say is that on one hand, God's kingdom has come. It's here. And on the other hand, God's kingdom is still coming. God's kingdom has come. Jesus came 2,000 years ago and accomplished his work on the cross. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. Jesus is with us spiritually. Jesus is with us through his word, through his sacrament. And so all of this means that God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is right here through us because Jesus died on the cross and rose again to redeem and restore us. He's given us new hearts, new wills that strive to follow him. That's part of life in the kingdom. And at the same time, God's kingdom is still coming. It's not yet here fully. Our old sinful selves still cling to us, so we sin. We turn away from God. We hurt ourselves and one another. And the only thing that will finally fix all of the problems in the world, the only thing that will finally fix all of the problems in us is Jesus. Jesus coming again in glory on the last day. Jesus bringing God's kingdom in all of its fullness. Jesus finally completing his work in this world, his work of healing, his work of renewal, his work of freeing. And that's what we're talking about today, that the kingdom of God looks like liberty. The kingdom of God looks like freedom. So God's kingdom has come, God's kingdom is still coming. The kingdom is now, and the kingdom is not yet. We're living in that tension. And that kingdom, God's kingdom, looks like liberty. This is what the prophet Isaiah predicted about Jesus 700 years before Jesus lived on earth. These words which Jesus later quoted to describe himself. And as Isaiah says this from our reading today, in I think the second verse, the Lord has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Sorry, first verse. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And we need to recognize that we are those captives. We are those prisoners whom Jesus is talking about here. We can read from Romans chapter 8, our other reading from the day, starting at verse 20. And St. Paul says this to us. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. So the creation, that is the whole world is suffering in bondage to decay. And that word actually indicates slavery. The world is not just bound as if it's, you know, imagine the picture is like you're tied up in a corner and you can't do anything while you know, you're slowly going downhill. Things are slowly getting worse. The word is actually slavery. Our world can't help but serve the forces of decay, which we know to be sin and corruption, that turning away from our Lord. And before you start thinking something like, well, thank goodness, I'm part of the kingdom. I'm not part of that. Before you start thinking something like that, we need to recognize you're captive as well. Because Paul continues in verse 22, where he says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly await adoption as sonship, the redemption of our bodies. So the whole creation, the whole world is groaning in this pain, and not just the world around us, because St. Paul says that we ourselves are groaning inwardly as well. So this is in us as well. We are in some way, we are slaves as well to the sin and the sinfulness that's in us and in the world. And kind of the message is, we're messed up. We're messed up, and our world is messed up. We're prisoners here trapped in a world of sin, corruption, and decay. And this should not really be surprising to you if you watch the news. Now, this should not be really surprising to you if you read a newspaper. You know, the worst, most obvious examples I can think of, what had just happened when I was writing this message, was on Wednesday this week, there was a mass shooting in California where 14 people were killed and 21 people were injured. And then last week, if you think, there was a shooting in Colorado where 3 people were killed and 9 more were injured. And then 3 weeks ago, we had a little break, but 4 weeks ago, there were the big attacks in Paris. They killed 130 people and injured 368. And that's just the worst of it. We can see this sin, we can see this corruption in ourselves and in our lives. St. Paul says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, in terrible pains right up to the present time. And not only so, not just the creation, but us ourselves. But there's a promise here too. These pains are somehow like the pains of childbirth, which means it's not a pointless pain. It means the pain we experience is not meaningless. The bondage, the captivity, the imprisonment that we experience is not meaningless. The pain that we experience, like the pains of childbirth, is helping to bring forward something new. It's helping to bring forward something better. Because this pain points us to our need. This pain shows us and proves to us through experience that we cannot finally create our own perfect kingdom here on earth. This pain directs us to the one person who can do that. This pain directs us to the one person who can save us, who is Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that the creation was subjected to this frustration in hope that, the pain is in hope that the creation itself will be liberated, the creation itself will be freed from its slavery to decay. And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to proclaim freedom, right? Freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners. That's what Jesus said, and that's what Jesus did. The Gospels are full of stories where Jesus set people free. You can find all sorts of stories where Jesus would free people from demonic possession. Jesus freed people from suffering with physical ailments. Jesus freed people from the overbearing religious rules of the Pharisees. Jesus freed people from death. Jesus did all of this through his earthly ministry while he was here with us on earth. And Jesus continues to do this in our world through the church, through his presence with us, through his word, through his sacrament. And Jesus has freed you from all of these things, through his death on the cross and his resurrection. You are free in Christ. So if the kingdom of God looks like liberty, if the kingdom of God looks like freedom, the kingdom of God is here. You have received it. You're part of it. And let's pause for a moment so we can be really clear about what we're free from and what we're free for. If Jesus frees us from the sin and corruption that's in us, now that we're free in Christ, do we just say, well, it doesn't matter what I do? After all, I'm forgiven, I'm free from sin, I can do whatever I want. Is that where we go next? No, not at all. In fact, when we're living in God's kingdom, then we're freed from sin and we're freed for things like good works. We're freed to love and care for one another. We're freed to love and follow God's law. We're freed to do God's will. Because the truth is, our sin is what traps us. Our sin is what traps us, and when we're freed, we are freed to live as God wants us to live. If sin has placed us in slavery to corruption and decay, then the freedom that Jesus gives really allows us to return to living the way we're supposed to be. Freedom allows us to live within the will of our Creator. Freedom allows us to live lives that are really good, really good. And when we live in God's kingdom, we're not free to do whatever we want. We're free to live as God wants us to live, and that's a really good thing because the way that God wants us to live is good. The way that God wants us to live includes, as an example, because I mentioned it earlier, the way that God wants us to live includes things like the fifth commandment, you shall not murder. And if our world was a little better at keeping that commandment as well as all the rest, we would see a lot less of the pain and suffering and sorrow that we've seen in the world in the last few weeks. In God's kingdom, we are free to live as God wants us to live. And that's a good thing. Now, we recognize that we're free in Christ, but we're not fully free yet. God's kingdom has come, and God's kingdom has not fully come until the last day. So for now, our old sinful selves still hang on to us. For now, it's true for St. Paul back then, it's true for us now that the whole creation continues to groan in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait for Jesus to return. So while we wait, what do? Well, for one thing, we try to express outwardly the freedom that Christ has already given us. We try to express outwardly in our lives the freedom that we have in Christ. As followers of Jesus, we take care that we don't become addicted to all of the junk the world tells us we need to be part of, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography, material possessions, debt, or whatever. Because Christ has freed us, we take care that we don't give those things an opening to make us slaves once again. And because Jesus has freed us, we try to free others as well, right? This is why Christians all over the world take part in efforts to free people from sometimes physical slavery. Christians work to free people from mental and spiritual bondage, such as you find in abusive relationships or damaged relationships. Christians work to free people from bondage to physical addictions and dependencies. Christians work to free people from poverty. Christians work to free people from pain and suffering and hurt bodies and more. And what all of this comes down to is that we work to free people from sin and from the effects of sin in our world, because that's what Jesus has given us. Because we know that's what Jesus is doing in this world, is freeing people. Because we know that on the last day, Jesus is going to come back and give us a new creation in which we are fully free from sin and the effects of sin. And in the meantime, since this is what Jesus is doing in our world, in the meantime, we take part in his work. In the meantime, we work to free others as well. In the meantime, we try to free people to live as God has made them to live. And we recognize that this isn't a straightforward process. Sometimes we take a step forward, sometimes we take a step back, both in our own lives and also in the world. Sometimes we experience the freedom Christ gives, and sometimes we slide backwards into that sin. Sometimes we slide backward into that slavery. That's not a good thing, but it's also part of life. It's part of life in this kingdom that is both now and not yet. And the good news is that Jesus has given us tools to deal with that when it happens, namely forgiveness and repentance, turning away from those sins to follow him once again. So that happens, but always we are assured. Always we are assured. We are assured that Jesus has freed us from sin, from decay, and from corruption through his death on the cross and his resurrection. Jesus came to set the prisoners free, and he did it. Jesus did that for you, and Jesus did that for me. And because Jesus did that for us, we do the same for others. And we are just as sure that one day, Jesus is going to come back, and on that day, we will experience this freedom fully. We know we can't build the perfect kingdom ourselves, but we know that Jesus is going to do that for us. So, we wait. And as we wait for the kingdom to come, we act. We take part in his work. We live as his people, because that's what it means to wait on Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to continue now with